33. Is Richard Hoagland on a dark mission? April 11, 2011. Richard C. Hoagland. Readers of other articles I've written will perhaps be wondering why I now seem to be writing an article about Mr. Richard Hoagland, a well-known researcher who was a regular guest and contributor to the popular late-night U.S. syndicated talk show Coast to Coast. Mr. Hoagland is billed as a quote-unquote science advisor to the program, though he does not have any formal qualifications in science subjects. Mr. Hoagland, however, did apparently work as a curator for NASA for some time, and he also worked with famed CBS reporter Walter Cronkite, presumably on reports relating to NASA and/or the Apollo and other space missions. Richard C. Hoagland's main areas of research. Starting in about 1983, Richard Hoagland has presented some very interesting information about Mars, the Moon, and especially Iapetus, and he and others have highlighted a number of anomalies in various photos, which have been sent back by unmanned probes. Mr. Hoagland has posted some quite fascinating, if at times verbose, articles on his website, Enterprise Mission. He is mainly focused on space-related research topics, and he has covered these at length in books such as Monuments of Mars, and more recently, Dark Mission. He has mainly focused on space-related research topics, and he has covered these at length in books such as Monuments of Mars, and more recently, Dark Mission. Readers of some of his articles may conclude that Mr. Hoagland is something of a quote-unquote trekker, although, unlike this author, Mr. Hoagland apparently knew Gene Roddenberry for some time. Outside of space research, Mr. Hoagland posted a very interesting series of articles about the so-called Norway spiral. However, in July of 2010, he stated on Coast to Coast, after the massive BP oil spill, that a large undersea region in the Gulf of Mexico could explode from a methane buildup, causing a tsunami. This has not, of course, happened, and I began to have some small questions about his credibility. Secret Space Program Conference. With this said, it can perhaps be seen why it was interesting to me that, on Sunday, April 3, 2011, Richard Hoagland gave a presentation in Amsterdam as part of a conference entitled The Secret Space Program. In August of 2010, I was made aware by the organizer, Jeroen van Straten, that this conference would be happening. At that time, I had spoken to Jeroen at the Exopolitics Leeds Conference, where I presented The Case for Anti-Gravity. This presentation fits directly into the secret space program research area. Jeroen did invite me to have a table to distribute some materials there. However, due to certain timing and family commitments, I decided not to attend. I was also grateful to Jeroen for offering to display a few copies of my self-published book entitled 9/11, Finding the Truth. Jeroen also displayed some DVDs of a TV presentation by myself and Dr. Judy Wood that was done in February 2009 about the destruction of the WTC, along with some flyers for Dr. Judy Wood's hugely important book, Where Did the Towers Go? I wish, in retrospect, I decided to attend, as I may have been able to question Mr. Hoagland about a number of aspects of what he presented. One might have thought that Mr. Hoagland would present something about his research from his Dark Mission book, co-authored with Mike Barra. However, most of the material he presented had nothing to do with Dark Mission, Mars, Iapetus, or any of those subjects. Rather, the material he presented was primarily about the events of 9/11. Dr. Judy Wood's 9/11 research and court case. Some readers may know of my special interest in 9/11, as it is the topic I have written about the most on this website and about which I have the most information posted. Similarly, readers will likely know of my association with Dr. Judy Wood, who has singularly done more than any other researcher to determine what actually happened, and to take that knowledge forward into a key TAM complaint against NIST contractors for science fraud. The complaint was eventually filed in the U.S. Supreme Court. Very recently, Dr. Wood has made a fabulously important new book available, called simply, Where Did the Towers Go? This is the only book about 9/11 which examines, with a wealth of scientific data, what happened to the World Trade Center complex. In this work, and on her website, once the what has been established, the evidence of the how it was done is also explored. Dr. Wood's forensic studies have shown the importance of what are known as field effects in relation to the destruction of the WTC complex. This has been determined from a study of something known as the Hutchison effect, and Dr. Wood has also examined the likely role of Hurricane Erin in the events of 9/11. Some time ago, I made a 20-minute video summary of the evidence. Dr. Wood has also posted a Cliff Notes summary of the evidence. Richard Hoagland's presentation. When I first listened to Mr. Hoagland's presentation, I was, frankly, shocked. For about an hour and a half, he presented some of the catalog of evidence that Dr. Judy Wood had compiled and made available on her website. Though Mr. Hoagland did reference Dr. Judy Wood's name and made brief mention of her website, it must be pointed out that Mr. Hoagland has never been in contact with either Dr. Wood or myself before or after this presentation. Neither of us had any idea that he would be presenting this research in as much detail as he did. A number of people have already made remarks such as, "Isn't it fantastic that someone like Richard Hoagland is endorsing Dr. Judy Wood's research?" Well, this might be true if he was presenting it fairly and accurately. However, as you will see from details discussed below, Mr. Hoagland made a number of serious errors and omissions in his presentation, and, had he consulted Dr. Wood or myself, or if the organizers had invited Dr. Wood to present this evidence, these mistakes could have been avoided. Both myself and especially Dr. Wood work very, very hard to get details correct. Science and engineering are nothing without details being correct. Hence, we both felt we needed to point out where there are mistakes in his presentation so we can ensure that a true and accurate record of these matters becomes available to people. Some people, I'm sure, will criticize me, or us, for what may be termed nitpicking. However, my response is simply to refer to the previous paragraph about why details are important. Additionally, both Dr. Wood and myself are, or have been, involved in education professionally, which again means we must do our absolute best to ensure that information is passed on accurately and truthfully to those whom we are attempting to guide toward a complete understanding of whatever topic we are tasked with. Finally, if details are to be submitted to court, as Dr. Wood and Jerry Leaphart did, they must be absolutely solid and definitive. Telling the truth. People will need to analyze the presentation closely to see some of the subtlety of the errors and misrepresentations, and also, again, consider why Mr. Hoagland did not present research from Dark Mission or other research from his own lengthy articles. Perhaps it is a measure of the importance of Dr. Judy Wood's research that he decided to do what he did. It is worth noting carefully what Richard Hoagland stated about the events of 9/11 in a Coast to Coast broadcast on April 16, 2008. In discussing some developments in solar power with George Noory, he seemed to believe in what could be called the Bin Laden fantasy. At about 1 minute into this clip, he states, quote, "This is a revolution that's here, and all it's waiting for is the right president to say, this is what we're going to do. Who wants to get on board? This is the way we change the world. I mean, if you look at CNN, you look at NBC, you look at Fox, you look at the litany of awful bad news that we've been living with for almost 10 years now, since 2001, since 9/11, what was the single biggest reason why bin Laden ostensibly killed 3,000 Americans? So, an initial question then is, what made Hoagland change his mind so much in the intervening 3 years? Dr. Judy Wood's research has been posted quite prominently since at least 2006, and she has been speaking about it since then. It makes it all the more ironic that in his April 3, 2011 presentation, Hoagland should rebuff a statement from the audience about Muhammad Atta's passport being found on the ground. That is, at about 1 minute 15 seconds, he states, "If you believe that, I've got a really cool bridge deal that I..." Okay. Meeting RCH. Personally, I wonder if he secretly paid attention to some of the materials and signs I had on display during the Beyond Knowledge conference in September 2009, when I gave a presentation about crop circles. At that event, I even attempted to strike up a conversation with Mr. Hoagland, but he expressed no apparent interest. He never looked at any of the booklets, leaflets, or DVDs I had on display. At the same conference, Mr. Hoagland did a presentation about the secret space program, but the first hour that I watched was centered on anomalies in the rings of Saturn. And I say again, Richard Hoagland has never communicated with either myself or Dr. Judy Wood before or since his Amsterdam presentation, as of writing this article. Prior to this, I had resisted contacting Mr. Hoagland because of the volume of emails I considered he would receive, and that I had hoped he would find the available information and realize its importance without any need for me to contact him. We can safely say, however, that he has been aware of Dr. Judy Wood's research and website since at least January or February of 2010, when he included reference to it in the third part of his Norway Spiral series of articles. Of course, many people, including myself, often reference or reuse images from websites and presentations they give. However, it is rare that someone will present material exclusively from a website other than their own for 1.5 hours of a 2¾-hour presentation. Also, why did Mr. Hoagland not take such an opportunity to present research from Dark Mission and raise awareness and sales of his book? Surely his publisher would have preferred this. More about publishers later. Friends. One of the interesting things Hoagland said early in his presentation was, "As my friend Alex Jones keeps saying," and then he mentions the concept of a prison planet, the title of one of Jones's websites. Hoagland also mentions several friends in this presentation and in a few other statements we will examine later. My reason for flagging this up is that Alex Jones has attacked or censored any mention of Dr. Judy Wood's research when it has come up in discussions. One example happened on a radio show hosted by Kevin Barrett, and another was when his own show was being hosted by Jason Burmes. Finally, Jerry Leapart had to write a letter to Alex Jones, discouraging him from disparaging certain researchers while 9/11-related legal action was in progress. Alex Jones, to my knowledge, never mentioned this legal case either, nor did he reply to the letter. Around 53 minutes into the presentation, Hoagland describes Dr. Joseph Farrell as his friend, and he states that Joseph Farrell gave him permission to present some of Farrell's research. However, at no point in the presentation does Hoagland describe Dr. Judy Wood as a friend. Also, he does not state whether she gave him permission to present her research. As already implied, she did not, as she was never contacted and asked this question. Dr. Joseph Farrell has had a number of his own books published with the same publisher as Hoagland, that is, Farrell House, a topic we will return to later. Richard Hoagland has appeared with Joseph Farrell on Coast to Coast on August 21, 2008. Joseph Farrell has also spoken about Dr. Judy Wood's research on one or two radio appearances, for example, in one of a number of broadcasts on The Bite Show. More recently, however, Dr. Farrell seemed to be rather less interested in talking about 9/11, it seems. Another friend, John Hutchison. At about 95 minutes into the presentation, Hoagland states, presumably showing a slide, "This is John Hutchison. John is a character. I've known him for 10 or 15 years. John is one of those exquisite, no-hold-barred, let-me-see-what-I-can-come-up-with-tomorrow-to-just-play-with-the-universe kind of garage tinkerers." As Dr. Wood has documented, and I have also stated, John Hutchison's research is one of the keys to understanding how 9/11 was done. Few people will talk about this in relation to 9/11, so I was initially surprised when Hoagland did. At about 95 minutes, Hoagland stated that John Hutchison was in the Navy. I doubted this was true, so emailed John to ask him. John confirmed he was never in the Navy. At about 103 minutes, Hoagland stated there was a petition to, quote, "get John out of his apartment in New Westminster, Vancouver, Canada." John said in an email to me that no one wanted him to leave. He left to be with his partner, Nancy Lazarian, and work on the Gulf oil aftermath, with some success. These are significant errors, the second of which appears to be some kind of attempt to cast John in a bad light. Masonic symbols and presidents and the 9/11 truth movement. In his presentation, Hoagland does not start talking about 9/11 until after the 37-minute mark. In doing so, he mentions Masonic symbolism, e.g. the Twin Towers represent Jachin and Boaz. At around 39 minutes, he criticizes the 9/11 truth movement, suggesting it is, quote, not truth, at least in the sense of the leadership, because the story they're spinning is as fictional as the story that the Bush administration was spinning, that Rumsfeld was spinning, that Cheney was spinning. None of it is true, unquote. He does not present any evidence to back up his statement about the leadership of 9/11 truth. For example, he could have referenced one of a number of articles on checktheevidence.com or even my free ebook 9/11 Finding the Truth. Perhaps he was a little nervous, because if he had gone any further, he may have had to mention what one of his fellow conference speakers, Richard Dolan, said in September 2009 about 9/11 truth. His comments about the Bush administration are also rather odd, bearing in mind that, at about 32 minutes, he praised Obama for thinking and even likened him to President Kennedy. Perhaps Hoagland had not considered that something very odd happened with Obama when he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize sometime during his first 4 weeks in office and later received this award, and he was perhaps the only presidential candidate to tour Europe before he was elected. The devil is in the details. From about 40 minutes, RCH moves into his discussion regarding the destruction of the WTC. At around 40 minutes, he lauds Judy, not Dr. Wood, for some time, but then says, quote, it's our analysis, unquote. Later, it becomes clear that he has put his own spin on what the evidence actually shows. However, he does this having made some serious errors and omissions. Though he says, it's our analysis, he never states who else has contributed to it, and arguably no real analysis is even presented. One error that he makes is repeated several times in his presentation. He talks about the collapse of the towers. For example, at around 42 minutes, he describes it as a, quote, free-fall collapse, unquote. This is not correct, because the towers, as he proceeds to illustrate with photos from Dr. Wood's collection, turned to dust. That is, the towers did not collapse. If they had collapsed, they would have hit the ground and created a seismic signature, among other things. This did not happen. At around 44 minutes, RCH describes what sounds like Dr. Wood's billiard ball example, or BBE, illustration of how the towers were destroyed. Hoagland thought it would take 40 seconds for the buildings to, quote, pancake down floor by floor. It seems he does not understand the BBE. This is covered in Chapter 2 of Where Did the Towers Go? But Dr. Wood has had it on the web since 2005. At 47 minutes, Hoagland notes the lack of debris, but then quite a bit later, at about 1.5 hours, confuses the issue and repeats an unverified story. Thus, Judy has found, these are in a huge warehouse at Kennedy Airport. They snuck all this stuff out and trucked it to China to quickly melt, so that all the evidence would be gone. You are looking at the biggest ever crime against humanity. It appears that Mr. Hoagland must be referring to someone other than Dr. Wood, because these issues are not part of a scientific analysis of empirical evidence. At around the 48-minute mark, Hoagland states that, quote, Judy is a material scientist and engineer. Her professional credentials are that she basically back-engineers stuff that breaks, so the new stuff won't break. Quite a number of times he mentions Judy rather than Dr. Judy or Dr. Wood, and in this case he makes no mention of one of her special areas of expertise, interference and optical methods, which are used in stress analysis. At 49 minutes, RCH states he has not publicly spoken about 9/11 until now, but it is clear the evidence has been available for at least 5 years. For example, Dr. Wood had posted BBE in 2005, DEW, or Directed Energy Weapons, series in 2006, RFC in 2007, and KETAM in 2007. In 2008, Hoagland was still talking about Osama bin Laden. In a statement quite reminiscent of Richard Gage of the bogus AE 9/11 group, at 49 minutes, Hoagland asks, quote, for people to demand a new investigation, unquote. Why did he do this? He seems to be neglecting comprehensive forensic investigation that Dr. Wood has conducted and that he is presenting, while misrepresenting. At 51 minutes, RCH makes a smaller error and refers to the, quote, Union Trust building, which should be the Bankers Trust or Deutsche Bank building. At 59 minutes, RCH mentions the toasted cars, stating, quote, they burned, they melted, they ran like puddles of liquid iron, they flipped over upside down. Dr. Wood has not cataloged any evidence of melted and running puddles of iron. Indeed, this is what Steve Jones and Richard Gage have tried to convince people of. Why is Hoagland so confused about the issue of heat? Fair use? At around 52 minutes into the presentation, RCH begins to describe a specific set of photographs collected by Dr. Judy Wood, which show the spire turning to dust over a period of a few seconds. Photo follows. This is a key piece of evidence, also clearly shown in this video clip I edited together. Thanks to a blogger, we have an image of the screen shown at around this time. On one Dutch blog, a poster called Observer 1964 included these two images from Hoagland's presentation. Photos follow. The left-hand image is an image I created. I did this when creating a booklet about the research of Dr. Judy Wood and the conclusions it leads one towards. The image on the left is on page 8 of my booklet. This booklet can be downloaded as a PDF or a Microsoft Word document. Notice that Hoagland does not mention the source of the image, namely, my website. Pay particular attention to the style of lettering and the arrow at the left side edge of the image. Why did he not reference the source of this image at all? Later, at about 1 hour 32 minutes in the presentation, RCH starts talking about two previous, quote, building disasters. He describes one as the Wilson Center, or Woodrow Wilson Center, actually the Windsor Tower, in Madrid, and another as the B-25 bomber crash in 1945. Although we do not have a screen image to reference, it sounds very much like he is describing what is shown on page 7 of the document, or booklet, mentioned above. Again, the source, my website, is not referenced or mentioned. More interesting is the use of the following image. Photo follows. It appears this image can only be found in Dr. Judy Wood's Key Tam document, page 6, figure 29. The color arrows were added to indicate the effects on the steel pieces. It would appear that Hoagland has therefore studied this document. We will refer to the importance of this later. We know what did it. You don't. On listening to the presentation, it appears that RCH seems to be trying to repeat an exercise similar to an earlier attempt by Jim Fetzer to take ownership of the message and or the conclusions of the research. Initially praising Dr. Judy Wood, he states, at around 59 minutes, following the evidence to its extraordinary and totally Mr. Spock illogical conclusion, unquote. He implies Dr. Wood has scientifically followed the evidence to the conclusions, yet he implies elsewhere that she is clueless as to what happened. For example, at 1 hour 33 minutes, he states, quote, so, Judy's question, which is exquisitely logical, is, where did these things go? So far, she hasn't got an answer, but I'm hoping that some of the insights that we've been able to put together will help in her investigation. He then abruptly states, quote, here is the mystery of melted steel, unquote. And he does not state what help will be given. He does not, at this point, state what his answer is either. Neither has he offered any help, as he has not contacted Dr. Wood ever. Sometime later, at around 1 hour 49 minutes, RCH states, quote, electromagnetic fields, when they interact in certain ways, create torsion. They tickle the torsion field, which is the ether. So it's the EM which can trigger what's really doing this, which is not, I bet you dollars to Navy beans, not electromagnetic, unquote. He said that electromagnetic fields interact and create torsion fields, and torsion fields are the ether. So, he is saying that electromagnetic fields create ether? It sounds like his explanation contains a number of buzzwords and it is not really scientific, and it is also unreferenced. He goes on to state, quote, "And that's where Judy is in error, because she doesn't know about the existence of torsion or hyperdimensional physics," unquote. This statement is dishonest. RCH has never contacted Judy, i.e. Dr. Wood, so how can he honestly state what she does and does not know? He continues on with some rather confusing statements. Quote, "Or that you can get effects from EM in this other realm as some kind of ERM transducer or sideways step of force. She's thinking this is some kind of electromagnetic effect," unquote. It is interesting that Mr. Hoagland does not acknowledge or even recognize that one of Dr. Wood's most prominent areas of expertise is interferometry. In her book, Where Did the Towers Go? And All Other Communications, Dr. Wood avoids trendy terms. The only descriptive term she has used in attempting to describe the operation of the technology is, quote, "magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions" on page 365. That is, she has never proposed, quote-unquote, EM as a term descriptive of the technology that caused the destruction on 9/11, nor has she proposed using any other term. It appears that here RCH is misrepresenting Dr. Wood's research. Also, we may ask, has RCH read Dr. Wood's book? If he hasn't, why is he pretending to present her work? It seems we have never heard Mr. Hoagland discuss the topic of magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions, so it is natural to question if Mr. Hoagland is even familiar with this level of physics, much less understand it. So here again, we see the all-too-familiar pattern of misquoting, muddling up, or misrepresenting the detail of what Dr. Wood has said. In the same segment of the presentation, he then notes, quote, "Although she has connected it to the idea of free energy, and there are extensive discussions on her site, which you'll find about the suppression of this 9/11 catastrophe, mainly to keep us all in the dark, literally, about free energy, and the radical positive effect it could have on society, not just here, but anywhere in the world," unquote. However, he does not really spend any significant time exploring this issue and the salient connections that have fallen out during Dr. Wood's research. For example, RCH makes no mention at this point of another friend of his, mentioned at the beginning of the earlier Bin Laden clip. This is Dr. Eugene Malov, a tireless and fearless campaigner for the development of free energy technologies, such as those based on low-energy nuclear reactions, LENR, or cold fusion. Hoagland also fails to point out that Malov was murdered in 2004, and that Stephen E. Jones, another of the supposed 9/11 truth leaders, was linked to the field of LENR research. This is a subject I have also written about. At 2 hours 26 minutes, RCH describes steel, quote, "beams coming down," unquote, and states, quote, "they destroy themselves in a geometry which is baffling to every single mechanical engineer or scientist who's looked at the problem, including Judy Wood," unquote. Again, it must be stated that RCH has never corresponded with Dr. Wood, spoken with her, nor even met her in person. So we are at a loss as to how Mr. Hoagland would obtain such information about Dr. Wood, much less, quote, "every single mechanical engineer and scientist," unquote. Is this statement meant to lead listeners to conclude that Judy has only a collection of interesting photos but has no idea what they mean? It is certainly beginning to sound that way. Referring to the groups of steel beams, he then states, quote, "here is one set that has been rolled up like a carpet by some mysterious force," unquote. It is interesting to note that Hoagland uses the exact same phrase that Dr. Wood has used, rather than another buzzword. He then jokingly describes Dr. Wood as, quote, "a material science gal," unquote, but fails to give the audience an appreciation of the fact that Dr. Wood has conducted a comprehensive analysis of the physical evidence and has reported her scientific findings. This includes an explanation of the mechanism of, quote, "some mysterious force." Scotty, 3 to beam up. Several times in his presentation, Hoagland references Star Trek, or terms which might be more at home in a script from an episode for that series. At 1 hour 51 minutes and 1 hour 58 minutes, he refers to a disintegrator beam, not a term used by Dr. Wood. At around 1 hour 6 minutes, he discusses the toasted cars and missing engine blocks. Referring to the latter, he asks, "How did the engine beam up, Scotty?" While in one sense this may seem harmless, in this particular context it is a more unfortunate type of witticism, due to the earlier methods that have been employed to attack Dr. Wood's research, i.e. referring to it as space beams or ray beams from space. Muddle up and cover up. I was again surprised by Hoagland's mention of Dr. Judy Wood's legal case. However, my surprise was short-lived once I had listened carefully to his description. At 1 hour 31 minutes, he states, quote, "Look at the official documents and the legal brief they have filed to try to get, under law, access to hidden documents, hidden information, immediate responses by the responders, that kind of thing. She's got some of that on these pages, and it goes on for page after page after page. It's an exquisite, really independent analysis, which has come to an unbelievable conclusion, only if you believe that the physics we've been spoon-fed is the only physics there is in the universe." Unquote. Richard Hoagland has mischaracterized the legal case. It was a science fraud case. It was not about obtaining hidden documents. Additionally, the filed documents included details of the first responder testimonies collected by the New York Times. Had he correctly described the legal case by using his speaking time to explain the nature of a key TAM complaint, rather than inject witticisms and go off into areas of speculation, he would be acknowledging that Dr. Wood has not just gathered pretty pictures. She actually determined what happened on 9/11 and filed a federal case about it. This is far more important and significant than what Hoagland describes. Also, he could have then pointed out that one of the defendants in the case, ARA, should have known who done it, so to speak, as that formed part of their contract with the U.S. government. Again, it is interesting that Mr. Hoagland does not acknowledge or even recognize that one of Dr. Wood's most prominent areas of expertise is interferometry. These sorts of details are of huge importance and even on their own indicate why Dr. Judy Wood should have been invited to present this research, not Richard Hoagland. However, it seems from later Facebook postings that RCH had no intention of accurately describing the Key Tam case. Ralph K. Winteroud, a legal campaigner based in Alaska who hosts a talk show on RBN, attempted to inform readers of the identity of two of the defendants in the Key Tam case, ARA and SAIC, but was blocked from posting soon after doing this. Also, 2 hours 21 minutes, Hoagland tries to give the impression that he understands what is behind the effects John Hutchison has created, and states, quote, "In other words, what John Hutchison is doing is tickling the force with his fields and his playing and his inaudible, not at that time knowing at all what he was doing but getting amazing effects because of the interaction back and forth. The commutativity can flow in both directions. EM fields produce torsion. Torsion produces EM fields. The torsion field is primary. And they're as pleased as punch at what he's doing, even though he hasn't a clue what he's doing." In a broadcast on April 4, 2010, with Dr. Judy Wood and Ralph Winteroud, John Hutchison states at around 31 minutes, quote, "I use a different combination of radio waves, along with threshold high voltage and electrostatic operators. And I only use weak magnetic fields to steer the electrostatic around to cause it to conform to certain patterns." Though he then refers to it as an accidental discovery, and that he has had real problems replicating it in the early years, he goes on to describe how he was spurred on, to some extent, by requests for demonstrations from some of the more open-minded scientists. This sounds like he does have a clue. Indeed, he was able to reproduce the effects on many occasions, one example being for an apparently unreleased Rob Simone documentary filmed in 2007. Therefore, it appears that John Hutchison does have a clue about what he's doing, as he understands how to produce results from the interference of various forms of energy fields. That is, he can demonstrate this technology. Space beams. Toward the end of the presentation, at around 2 hours 31 minutes, RCH states, quote, "The torsion field, as it was excited by this external energy force, applied as a beam, as an interference pattern by some very sophisticated folks, probably in orbit, probably directing this toward the ground, hundreds of miles below, a la what Ed Grimsley has been showing us now for nights on the cruise, and then last night up at the hotel. That technology destroyed these two buildings and brought them down by disintegrating at the molecular level all their components. And there's so much more correlating data that I don't have time, obviously, but it's out there." Unquote. Is Hoagland therefore saying he can't really explain it? Sadly, Hoagland does not cover any evidence of why he thinks the system might be in orbit. Dr. Wood was the first person to point out the circular holes and cutouts in the tops of buildings, but they may have been created by some type of interference effects, as circular holes have been created in one or more of John Hutchison's metal samples. Buzzwords and jokes. RCH's presentation is peppered with jokes and buzzwords. Do jokes enhance or suppress someone's critical thinking? Is it the case that non-scientists can use scientific-sounding buzzwords repeatedly to make an audience think they are an authority on a given subject? Remember, RCH does not have a science degree. Dr. Judy Wood has completed 3 science degrees. Dr. Wood has observed in her book that using a buzzword can often discourage people from thinking about the details of a phenomenon, and therefore they are less likely to develop an understanding of it. Omissions. Even though RCH's presentation lasted the better part of 3 hours, there were many significant omissions, and as described above, a number of distortions. Here are just a few of the omissions. Seismic evidence. WTC bathtub description. Round holes in windows and those double-glazed panes where only the outer part is broken. Phenomenon of no stab wounds in the region of the 18th to 80th floors of the WTC. The so-called jumpers who jumped out of the tower before it was destroyed. Transmutation of materials. Rust effects. Ongoing effects at the site. Dirt piles. Discussion of WTC-7 destruction. Prepping of buildings, lathering and other related effects. And Alaskan magnetometer data. Finally, his most significant omission was Hurricane Erin. This is a particularly interesting omission for several reasons. At 86 minutes, RCH mentions effects seen in tornadoes, stating, "I got to thinking one day, what is a tornado? It is a spinning column of air. This creates a torsion field." This was a question Dr. Wood began to research in early 2008, and the similarities with the Hutchison effect while she was studying Hurricane Erin. She presented this in May 2008 in Seattle. Curiously, in October of 2005, RCH noted on his blog the relationship of anomalous behaviors observed in both Hurricane Wilma and Hurricane Ophelia. This information is only currently present in the Internet Archive, as RCH has deleted it from his website or moved it from its original location. This makes his omission of Hurricane Erin particularly staggering. Summary of what we have learned so far. It seems clear that in large part, RCH has misrepresented Dr. Wood's research. He presented her analysis as his own, while implying that she was clueless about what happened. 3 years ago, Mr. Hoagland was still promoting the 9/11 bin Laden story. 4 years ago, Dr. Wood submitted her analysis in a federal QI-TAM case. This is a matter of public record. So Dr. Wood and RCH didn't just happen to discover the same thing at the same time. She is a careful scientist and does not blurt out speculations and guesses to be the first so she can cash in on a prize. As a result, she's never had to retract any of her scientific findings. Dr. Wood did the research in her area of expertise as a scientist, began speaking the truth, and in doing so, ended up with no job. Receiving some support from a few others, she has written a 500-page book, which has largely been self-financed. And it is the matter of the publication of the book which we now turn to. Dr. Wood's science book, Where Did the Towers Go? It should be noted that Dr. Wood's compendious forensic study, which Hoagland, at around 56 minutes in his presentation, derogatively describes as a quote-unquote 25-pound doorstop, only became available in January of 2011, and we have wondered if there is any connection between the recent publication of this book and RCH's presentation of some of the evidence contained within it. At this point, it is unclear if RCH had read a copy of the book before his presentation. However, what is known is the reason why Dr. Wood's book has been self-published. Publish or be damned. Following a recommendation by someone else, Farrell House was approached to publish the book that Dr. Judy Wood had spent considerable time compiling. As mentioned near the start of this article, this publisher is the same one that has published Dark Mission by Hoagland and Barra, and several works by Joseph P. Farrell. There was some initial debate about the length of the book, but in 2008, the publisher did sign a contract with Dr. Judy Wood to publish the book, and a small advance was paid to her. A cover was designed for the book based on the design that Dr. Wood completed. The story of what happened over the next few months is rather long and convoluted, but the end result was that the publisher made various claims and eventually published a listing for a book, which indicated it would have been much reduced from the original proposed length, and it would not have had enough images in it to illustrate properly to the reader what actually happened on 9/11. Eventually, Dr. Wood terminated the contract with the publisher. It had begun to seem like Adam Parfrey, who runs Farrell House, had no intention of publishing the book. For quite some time, a product listing for the book appeared on Amazon, and this remained even after the publisher had abandoned the publication. The listing remained until someone else asked for it to be removed. Taking an opportunity to provide information about the now self-published and complete version of the book, a few people posted reviews and comments on the Amazon listing page. The comments from Mr. Parfrey make interesting reading. At the time of writing this article, several UK-related bogus Farrell House book listings for Where Did the Towers Go are present on sites such as Waterstones, Abe Books, and W.H. Smith. The problem is that these sites could serve to make people think that Dr. Wood's book had never been published and remains unavailable. I therefore wrote to Waterstones about their listing. They referred me to a company called Nielsen, who maintain a database which is used to generate these listings. I wrote to Nielsen, who in turn referred me back to Farrell House, or their distributor, as being responsible for feeding in the listings. I then wrote to Farrell House to ask them who their UK distributor was. I sent them the responses I received from both Waterstones and Nielsen. I addressed my message to info@farrellhouse.com and received this response. From Adam Parfrey, April 2, 2011, to Andrew Johnson. Subject: Incorrect, out-of-date book listing. Dear Mr. Johnson, what a strange remark to you from that Waterstones employee. As he suggested in your email, Farrell House has properly announced that it was no longer publishing Where Did the Towers Go. It's difficult for us to admit that Farrell House is unable to control the actions of others, no matter how misleading they might be. We hope that you are able to help resolve these clerical errors. Sincerely yours, E. Whitson, for Farrell House. Notice that the response came from Adam Parfrey's email address, but the person stated their name as E. Whitson. Also, it was as if I was responsible for resolving the quote-unquote clerical errors, not them. They also did not help me in identifying who the UK distributor was, so I had to find that out from another source. In researching who the distributor was, I came across some very interesting information, See below. Eventually, I discovered that the UK distributor was a company called Turnaround Publisher Services, Limited. So I wrote to them and asked if they could have the book listings deleted. I received two replies. The first reply stated, quote, "All the information is supplied to Nielsen Book Data, and that is where it is sourced by Waterstones and other UK retailers. The listing of the Feral House edition on Nielsen clearly states publication abandoned. As your edition has a different ISBN, this would need to be set up with Nielsen Book Data as a new entry before the bibliographic details could be supplied to Waterstones. I believe this is what Nielsen has already said. I'm not sure if there's anything else we can do other than listing the Feral House edition as abandoned, which we have already done. But I'm copying colleagues here who may know more on that front." Unquote. The second reply stated, quote, "Thanks for your information. Our database shows this title as being abandoned. It also shows it authored by Judy D. Wood. Anyone querying this title who contacts us is told that we are not selling it and that it was abandoned by Feral House in January this year." Unquote. Sadly, it seems no one is willing to take responsibility for deleting the listing of a book. How strange. A macabre twist. In my attempts to find out who the UK distributor for Feral House was, I came across some disturbing information. In 2001, Feral House decided they would publish a book by convicted Moore's murderer Ian Brady. This I found deeply troubling, as the book itself was called The Gates of Janus and is about serial killers. There was, not surprisingly, considerable consternation about the publishing of this book. Perhaps it is a very good thing that Dr. Wood's work was not published by Feral House. Perhaps it is also a good thing that there is not, nor has there ever been, any direct communication between Richard Hoagland and Dr. Judy Wood.